Welcome to On Mic with Jordan Rich, a podcast all about the voices you hear on the radio and TV, the actors, producers, and creators who focus on the most fascinating of instruments, the human voice.
Of all the boys I've known, and I've known some, until I first met you, I was lonesome. And when you came inside, dear, my heart grew light, and this old world seemed new to me. You're really swell, I have to admit you deserve expressions that really fit you. And so I've racked my brain hoping to explain all the things that you do to me. By me, Mr. Shane, please let me explain. By me, Mr. Shane, means you're grand.
Today's guest is the new host and producer of one of the most successful and popular radio shows in the nation dedicated to Jewish music and culture. The show is called Chagiga, and my guest is good friend Hal Slifer. Hal is known as a Jewish historian of sorts for his video production work with literally hundreds of Jewish families and organizations. And as you're about to hear, radio has been one of Hal's passions for decades. A conversation now about Chagiga, the joy it means to his listeners, and, of course, to Hal.
So kiss me and say you understand.
Well, Hal, it's great to see you. It's great to talk with you about this new venture for you.
Well, thank you, Jordan. It's a pleasure to be talking with my good buddy.
Let's talk, first of all, about what Chagiga means. I was just in Israel. You think I'd know every word in Hebrew. What does it mean?
Chagiga means frolic, enjoyment, entertainment, having a good time. And that's what we do on Sunday mornings.
Well, you certainly do. And you're taking over the reins of a previous host and a tradition that has been in Boston and New England and now online for many years. Tell us the history of the show.
Well, Chagiga is a program that Emerson College has been committed to for the last 37 years. And through the 37 years, they've had different hosts, different personalities, bringing their own flavor to the show. Mm-hmm. And ERS came to me and said, Hal, how would you like to be the new flavor of Chagiga? And I said, bring it on.
Bring it on. The chicken fat. Bring the schmaltz. I'm sorry. We're going to get a little technical here because Hal and I speak the same lingo, not just radio lingo. But your career, you've had a lot of interesting creative pursuits, one of which we'll talk about that's sort of connected to this, and that's doing biography work for people.
Oh, yes.
and captivating family stories and history because you've been a video producer for the longest time. So talk a little bit about the early Hal, pre-Chagiga.
Well, you know, I've always loved radio ever since I was a little kid, just like yourself, late at night listening to some of the 50,000 watt below torch radio stations coming into my bedroom in Union, New Jersey. And that's what I did. I went off, got my degree in radio from Curry College, from Boston University. And I went out and I lived the nomadic life of the DJ. Every town, every year, I'd be going to a new station, new format.
Right.
But after a while, I figure, it's not a career. I'm good, but not that good. And I need to make a few dollars and bring up a family. So I decided to trade in my microphone for a video camera, which I enjoyed doing. And for many years, I produced weddings, bar mitzvahs, and mostly legacy videos where I'd go into people's homes, interview the fathers, the grandmothers, and really make a Jewish story that was most enjoyable and loved by the Jewish community.
How did this radio show come about? Did they find you? Did you pursue the station knowing that you were a fan of the show and you knew what
they
were
doing? Well, that's a great idea. The very first radio station I ever worked in Berlin, New Hampshire, where they took this young rookie up in the cold mountains of New Hampshire, I had a program director, Jack Casey, and we got along. We were only about 20 years old at the time, and we kept in charge. We kept, how you doing, Jack, over the years. He eventually wound up at Emerson College as the general manager, and he would call me every couple of months and say, hey, Hal, we've got this Jewish program on. You're Jewish. Would you like to take it over someday if the guy is sick, if the regular host can't make it? And I said, Jack, I am Jewish, but I don't know my Jewish music. But little by little, he brought me into the station. On the other side of the station, it's a rock station, alternative rock. And I became the morning fill-in guy. And eventually they said, you know what, Hal? It's time for you to take over the Chagiga show.
Just a sidebar note. Talk about who you knew when, and he's a wonderful man, one of the most respected and talented men, Jack Casey. He's terrific.
He is.
That's what this business is really all about, and part of the essence of the podcast is talking about the industry we're in. But that's what the business is all about. It's connecting with people, and you never know who you're going to work with 30 years down the line.
Absolutely. Jack and I kept in touch, and he always brought me to radio meetings with different radio personalities, and we enjoy that. We get together about once a month, and you're right. If you're in the radio business, stay friends with everybody because you never know where you're going to run into them again.
Radio is about storytelling, and you have been telling these stories with video for decades now and really making families feel complete. Has that training and work that you've done in the video world transformed itself onto the radio show? Has it been part of your radio
delivery? Absolutely. You know, the interviewing of family members is no different than the interviewing of anyone who becomes a member of Chagigah. We'd speak to people in the Jewish organizations in Boston, in national organizations. Plus, we also have 15 featured hosts that talk about different things on Chagigah, everything from Yiddish music to contemporary music to humor. So being a radio personality from many years ago, it's all come together on Chagigah.
Well, let's talk about the essence of this program and the fact that it's very popular with people in this community locally where we're broadcasting from or podcasting from and around the country and around the world because of the online presence. The Jewish culture, what Jews have added to the American culture, for instance, is pretty immense. Mm-hmm. I'll let you talk about that.
Well, it's interesting, as you mentioned that, Jordan. You know, the interesting thing about being Jewish, especially with Chagigah, the last host who did a fabulous job, his show is a little bit more on the religious side. They brought me in to be less religious. In fact, no religion, no politics, just to have an entertaining program.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turned out, my first thought was, I don't know the music, and I don't want to get on the air and say, mention someone's name wrong, play the wrong song. So what I did was, I surrounded myself with the experts in the music, like klezmer music. I don't know klezmer music, but I brought in Jim Gutman, who is the founder of the Boston Klezmer Conservatory Band.
Right.
We brought in Cantor G, who does Ladino music. We brought in, many different people that, you know, they're the hosts, they're the people. We've got Cantor Alana, who talks about Yiddish music. We have Songbook Sam from Miami Beach, who talks about American Jewish music. So it's a flavor of everything.
Well, that's important when you're doing a show as just a general disc jockey. They say the first thing you should do is know how to pronounce the town's names, know about the local sports team and how the weather works and all that. But research is important, particularly with an audience that knows the subject matter.
Well, you get on the air, you don't want to sound like you don't know what you're doing. So as I say, at first I surrounded myself with 15 experts in the music. So I become the host of the show and introduce the experts who introduce my Chagigah audience to some fabulous music.
So here we now have the show. You're the host. You got all these experts, all these wonderful contributors, but it's still the host, the guy that brings it all together. And what have you learned in the time you've done the show? What has changed in you?
That's a great question. What I learned was, listen to the audience. When I first took over the show, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring in anyone who's Jewish who has played music. So I brought in The Cars. They have three Jewish members of their group. I started playing that music, and the first thing I heard from my audience was, what are you doing? What are you doing to my show? And I listened closely, and I said, no, you just can't bring in someone who is Jewish to play music. It has to have some type of connection. So I listened to my audience. Mighty audience told me what they like, what they don't like, and I've evolved over time. In fact, the latest Nielsen ratings, where the last show is bringing in about 1,500 listeners. We are now bringing 8,000 listeners in per hour,
which is great
for a Sunday morning.
I'm not surprised. And I'll tell you that ethnic radio programming has been a basis of radio since it all began in the 20s, for crying out loud. You could take Irish, Greek, Italian, any show, and the same audience would say the same thing. What are you doing to my music? What are you doing to my show? It's amazing how protective they are of it.
Absolutely.
Right.
The nice thing about Chagigah is we play the music, but we also go back to Jewish roots, Jewish stories, stories from your childhood, going to summer camp, talking about Hebrew school, and having fun with it. As I say, we're not political, we're not religion.
Right.
It's just the great thing about the Jewish religion, where you don't have to be Jewish, religious Jewish. You don't have to be politically Jewish. Whatever you are is accepted in the Jewish religion.
Judaism is a lot of things. I mean, obviously, it's a religious doctrine and so forth. It's a way to live, but it is a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why one of the really highlights of the show for me is the comedy. Mm-hmm. And you'll play some excerpts from Jewish comics.
Absolutely. We'll get Rodney Dangerfield. We'll get Woody Allen. And these are people that talk about the Jewish culture and have fun with it. And it's the type of comedy that everyone can relate to.
Myron Cohen comes to mind.
Oh, the best.
Right?
Here, you know, and the great thing about these Jewish comedians like Myron Cohen, who was, he was up in the Catskills. Ed Sullivan brought him down to do his radio show. So someone living in the middle of Kansas who never met a Jew before in 1952 is watching TV and says, that guy is funny. You know, I had a strange thought about Jewish people, but now they're not so bad.
And that's what we would like to see happen with all kinds of people. I mean, when you introduce human beings from a particular group, a minority group, to the world in a way that's friendly and fun, it's really, really helpful. I wanted to mention the fact that, you know, you talk about the impact of music. It's not just the performers, but also the composers, Leonard Bernstein.
Absolutely.
The Gershwins, so many in
Take
that
Dave
realm.
Brubeck, who does jazz, who is really right. coming from the klezmer world. For some reason, Jewish entertainers, Jewish performers are enjoying a lifestyle that they love.
We'll be right back to the program in just a moment. I did want to take time to thank you for listening to On Mic with me, Jordan Rich. You'll find links to my website and Facebook page in the show notes. So I invite you to reach out to me. I'd love to hear your ideas for future shows and guests. Since I've heard you take requests, here's one for me. When you get a moment, I'd love for you to rate and review this podcast in all of the important places we hang out, including Apple, Android, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. It'll go a long way in helping me build this audience up and keep the studio humming with interesting content. And now, back to On Mic with Jordan Rich. Hey, that's me. Now we continue our conversation with Hal Slifer, host of Chagiga on WERS Radio in Boston. So the program runs when to when? Let's talk about the
hours. Starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, goes to 11 o'clock.
This is on Sunday.
Sunday morning. So it's a Sunday morning tradition. We find the good listeners, an average listener might be driving their child to Hebrew school and they're saying, you know what, I usually listen to Top 40 radio, but on a Sunday, let's listen to Chagiga. My child is in the back seat, he's kind of listening, and, you know, he's hearing the Jewish shtick.
You know, I majored in shtick, as you know. But having just returned from Israel, and by the way, I should note that you had me on Chagiga on the phone. I was very honored to be part of your show.
You were a fantastic interview.
But I talked a little bit about being in Israel for the first time. But here's what you notice when you go to Israel. The music is as hip, if you want to call it that, as it is in America. And it's everything from rap to blues to jazz to hard rock. They've got they've got everything going on.
There are about 12 major radio stations, and the most popular radio station is run by the Israeli Army, and it's all rock and roll hip. It's enjoyable, and everyone enjoys listening to it.
Do you have a lot of connections with the State of Israel now that the show is now international in a sense? I mean, have you interviewed people from Israel? Have you talked about maybe going yourself to take the show on the road at some point?
That's a great question. And that is the next step. We would love to take Chagiga to Israel and maybe go there for a couple of weeks, interview people and get a Jewish flavor, because you're absolutely right. We do have a large Israeli population that listens on Sundays. Their time is not 8 o'clock. It's really about 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's
right.
a tradition in Israel.
And WERS, for those tuned into this podcast and know the station, know that it's certainly been a part of the radio band for so many years, but they've offered programming that's always been, from a college perspective or a public radio perspective, very unique. The Broadway show on Saturdays is amazingly popular. The a cappella show. I mean, some really creative, the stuff they do for kids. And, of course, Huggy.
On the Playground is their kids show. You know, Jack Casey came into WERS as his general manager about 12 years ago, looked at the block program, and that's what they had, what they call block program. They'd have reggae on at 6 o'clock. They would have rap music on at 10 o'clock and said, you know what, we need to run this as a radio station. So he kind of reformatted the station. But on the weekends, he was wise enough to keep the block programming of Standing Room Only, which is Broadway, of Chagiga, and his listeners are just loving every second of it.
There's a term that I just love to hear you say, block programming. It sounds so generic, but it's actually very, very cool because it's the kind of specific programming that people turn to. So as the producer and host, we're talking with Hal Slifer, producer and host of Chagiga, the program airing on WERS in Boston and on the web, and we'll tell you how you can connect. One of the things you have as a feature is a Dr. Kaplan.
That's right.
Okay. By the way, there are a million Dr. Kaplans. If I said, does anybody know Dr. Kaplan? 15 hantz would go up. Right. Different of my orthodontist. But tell us what he
this
does.
This is Dr. Alan Kaplan. He has one of the 15 features on Chagiga every Sunday, and he answers the Jewish issues and the Jewish solutions and talks about, you know, the Jewish shtick. A common question that we get all the time when people email us is, Dr. Kaplan, My wife is not Jewish. I am Jewish. We're married. We have a wonderful life. But you know what? At Christmas time, I still have a tough time with a Christmas tree. And in a humorous way, Dr. Kaplan answers that question and kind of
I was reading about he's had radio experience, too.
Dr. Kaplan is a therapist in Newton, Massachusetts, but he also used to work in radio on Jammin' 94.5. He was the doctor on Sunday nights where teenagers would call up and say the same situation. Yeah. Dr. Kaplan, I have an issue. What do I do? And he's kind of formulated that to the Jewish market on Chagigah.
So when you do a show, and I did a radio weekend show, two or three shifts for 20 years, and well, but it's the weekend. How hard could it be? But when you put together a show for 3 hours, the amount of time it takes to coordinate and produce, just talk a little bit how you actually put it together.
That's a great question. No, at first, I used to go with my tape recorder to 15 different people and talk to them every week. And then I said, this is crazy. It's taking up too much of my time. So I built a recording studio out of my home. And every Tuesday, every 20 minutes, another host gives me a call. We do their feature, we edit it, and we put it on Sunday. But the amount of time spent to do a three-hour show on a Sunday, 25 to 30 hours a week.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, people probably understand that if they're not in the business, that it takes a lot of time to promote and produce. But it really does, from a production angle, lining up the guests, lining up the topics, making sure the music is right, and then actually being there for the 3 hours to see it all through. But a lot of your show is kind of pre-produced so that you can have guests.
Absolutely. At first, we used to have people come, as you did, for the 9:30 schmooze, which would come down to the studio on Tremont and Boylston Street on a Sunday morning. Everyone said, I want to be on the show. Oy, I got to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's too early for me. So we decided to pre-record the show, which makes it good because if someone makes a mistake, if somebody wants me to reframe a question, we could do that so that the final product is perfect.
What has been one of your favorite things about the show beyond the fact that it's getting more popular now? Is there a particular artist you like to play? Because I know Hank Osnetsky.
Sure.
You know Hank.
Music.
New England Conservatory. And every time I hear a piece by the Klezmer Conservatory Band or any good Klezmer, I get excited. It makes me happy. And is there a particular – do you have a favorite is what I'm asking.
Well, it's interesting. I enjoy all 15 features. But one of the features I enjoy doing is Songbook Sam. He calls up from Miami Beach.
Yeah.
He has a background in top 40 rock and roll music. And he gave me a call one day and said, Hal, I'd like to do something on Chagigah, maybe American Jewish music. So we started that show off, and he would bring on and talk about, let's say, Jay Black, who was with Jay and the Americans. And we'd play wonderful music by Jay Black, but then we'd also put on music by Jay Black when he sings a Yiddish song. So we would compare Jay Black, the rock and roll singer, to Jay Black, the Yiddish singer.
Gene Simmons, Mr. Kiss, the makeup and the shoes all of a sudden. Now, I'm thinking of all the performers, and there's that website, there's probably a dozen of them, you know, did you know this guy was Jewish?
Who was Jewish, right? And we looked that up. You know, I want to make sure we have Jewish artists. One of the biggest features was Billy Joel, and it said Billy Joel is not Jewish, and I checked it out further. As it turns out, Billy Joel had two Jewish parents, but he lived in an area where there was a great parochial school, so his parents sent him to a Catholic school. So some people say he's Jewish, some people say he's not Jewish. But the great thing was, in October, after the riots in Virginia, Billy Joel, who does a weekly or monthly concert at Madison Square Garden, he doesn't come out and say, hey, I am Jewish and I support the Jewish people. But he came back after his encore and he wore a Jewish star on the back of his coat as he was singing a song, just like the Jewish stars that the Germans made Jewish people wear in Germany. And for that, my listeners called up. They said, oh, he is definitely Jewish. Let's put him on the radio, which we did.
There's one thing we haven't really talked about, and that is the fact that anti-Semitism has always been with us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question about that fact. And I'm just wondering if in your travels in doing this show, because radio is a vast audience and many are anonymous, most are, have you had any negative feedback of any kind come through the
pipeline? No, it's interesting. You know, once again, because we're not political and we're not religion, we're not hitting any products that are hitting a raw feeling in somebody.
Raw nerve, yeah.
In fact, what I enjoy doing is playing music and kind of – we have a non-Jewish audience who enjoys the show also, and I feel good when I play a song and if I could attract someone from the non-Jewish audience and they say, I like that tune. They're not saying, I like you because you're Jewish. They're saying, I like that music. And that music, if it helps them appreciate the Jewish culture more, that makes me feel good.
Well, as a Jew who loves Dean Martin.
Yes.
But seriously, it's such a rich cultural and entertaining mix of stuff that you do every Sunday. And I wanted to bring you on just to promote the fact that you have the show. And how can people hear it who don't live in the area?
That's a great question. Number one, they could pick it up on the radio, 88.9 WERS. We have a radius of about 70 miles from our downtown studio. If they're not in that area, they can pick us up on WERS.org, which is a streaming service where you could pick us up nationwide and worldwide.
And Hal, you claim, and I believe you, that you will answer every email unless it goes into the junk file and you miss it. So how can people email you to find out
more? Great question. And I do answer every email because I love hearing from the listeners. I like when they say, Hal, I didn't like the way you did this. And I love it when they say, Hal, we love when you do that, because I learn from my listeners. And the way to contact me is Hal Slifer. That's S is in Schmaltz, L-I, F is in Freilich, E-R, Hal Slifer at WERS.org.
Are there rabbis out there who are trying to suggest that you study the Talmud now and become a full-fledged guy? I'm just kidding, of course. But no, seriously.
But it's interesting. I work closely with a lot of temples, and we interview the rabbis, we interview the cantors from a musical perspective. Talk about their lives, and then we'll always have anyone who comes on Chagigah to choose a tune from the Chagigah Jewish American Songbook and play some music that they enjoy.
Well, I had that option myself, and I really appreciated it. And I heard this song when I was in Israel, and you were kind enough to play it. I can't thank you enough. I'm so excited for you. And we both come from the same stock. We were raised in radio by a mutual friend and mentor, Roger Allen.
And we've known each other for more than 35 years.
That's right. And when I heard about you getting the show, I was just tickled because I know how excited you get. You're like a kid. You're like me. I mean, you can't wait to get on the air.
I have the passion for radio as you do, yes. And it comes through on the air.
Well, I will say, Chagigah, this was Chagigah. What we just did was fun. Thank you so much, my friend, and good luck with the show. And again, many, many more years of wonderful broadcast.
Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate working with you and talking with you. And let's hang out some more. Let's schmooze some more.
We'll schmooze. You've been listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich, a podcast produced by Chart Productions. Just click the Jordan Rich podcast link at chartproductions.com for more. Please subscribe, download, rate, and review us on Apple and any other podcast platform. Hey, it's great to be with you as always. Thanks for listening. Have a terrific day.